Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah, talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them. And from the cloud a voice said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell on the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And they looked up and they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. So if you've been paying attention, the last few weeks we've been where? Sermon on the Mount. And I promised you a cliffhanger last week, and indeed, we're no longer on the Mount. No more on the Sermon on the Mount. I had forgotten it was Transfiguration Sunday this week. So if you want to find out what happens while Jesus is still at the Sermon on the Mount, go home and read your Bible. But we'll come back to those texts a little later in the year. But so for right now, if you're just like on edge and you're like, "Oh, Pastor, I can't go." That's like going like a half a season. You know how they used to have a series, a television series, and it would go all season and you have to wait over the summer? And now they give you like 3 or 4 episodes and you got to wait until next year. Is that? Yeah? So they only make like 8 episodes for television. So you're going to have to wait a long time to get back to the Sermon on the Mount. I'm just saying. You could open up your Bible and read it at home on your own. I know it seems like a radical idea, but I encourage you to do that. So here we are in chapter 17 of Matthew now, and we're looking at this because this is really that transitional point between our time of Epiphany and our Lenten season. So we have this moment where we're going to notice the transfiguration of Jesus. And we've talked about before, especially when we talked about the Sermon on the Mount, we talked about this idea that in the Bible, when somebody goes up the mountain, something important is happening. Not that everything that happens in the something else in the Bible is not important, because it wasn't up the mountain, but we need to remember when we hear that action, someone's going up the mountain, something really important is happening. We should take notice. We should take special notice. In our first reading today, who goes up the mountain? And he gets... If you see Mel Brooks's version of that, he had 15 commandments, and he dropped one of the 5. And so he came down, and he says, "I have the 15," and he drops one. He goes, "I have the 10 commandments here." It's a pretty funny bit. But so Moses has gone up the hill. He's gotten the 10 commandments, comes back down. And part of this is when he goes up to talk to God, there's this part where they talk about a little bit more, and we've talked about before actually in this group that when Moses was up with God talking, when he came back down, apparently the mountain's made from uranium because he glows, right? And he glows so much, it makes people nervous. And so he has to wear a veil over his face. Have we talked about that before in here, right? And it's one of those things that I've noticed. Sometimes when somebody is really, really, you talk to them and you can tell they've had a mountaintop experience, they glow a little bit. Have you ever noticed? Somebody comes back from camp. "Mom, Dad, I got to tell you about the camp. The thing went on." It's like, did they have coffee there? Espresso? Is that why you're like that? But when people have a mountaintop experience, they can't help but talk about it. But it makes other people uneasy because they're not as familiar with the event that just happened. Now, when Moses comes down the mountain and he's glowing, that makes people nervous. It freaks them out a little bit, which is kind of normal for us who weren't part of that mountaintop experience. And so he's got to wear this veil. That's a human thing. right? God's divinity is all over Moses. It's like he's been poured with maple syrup all over his body, and now he's like, I'm all sticky. And everybody's like, don't touch me, right? But it's this way that we are as human beings. And we see this today, again, there's this great moment. They all go up the hill, because something important is going to happen, right? They go up the hill, and they're standing there, and Jesus becomes dazzling white, which would be a little freaky, but you'd be like, okay, I've been following this guy. That's a good sign. That means that the divinity that I thought Jesus was, remember, there's not been a lot of evidence except for the healings and all that kind of stuff, and all of a sudden, they go up the mountain, and this happens, and if they were doubtful at all, you'd think by now, this would be like that catalyst moment. It's like, okay, I believe Jesus is, he's, and then not only has he become dazzling white, he's talking to Moses and Elijah. Now, I've always wondered, how did they know it was Moses and Elijah? Because it's not like they kept pictures in their wallet. There wasn't like a portrait, I wouldn't think, of Moses, like somebody had painted. How did they know it was Moses? Well, I would say if you were with Jesus and he started glowing white, and all of a sudden Jesus turned and looked at one of the guys and went, hey, Moses, how you doing? And turned and said, Elijah. So there was probably some kind of cue that let them know. But it's always one of those things that I wonder about when I read this text. Is how did those guys know it was Moses and Elijah? But they know it is. And so Jesus goes over and suddenly appeared Moses and Elijah talking with him. Right? Now, if you've been following Jesus, and Jesus was talking with Moses and Elijah, you'd think that was a pretty important moment. Right? Wouldn't that be like, have you ever met anybody famous? Have you met some famous people? And have you ever gone up to those famous people and suddenly you can't speak right? Hi, I'm Mufibadad. And because you're kind of overcome by that person's, you know, status. And this funny thing happens, what is it, with Peter? Right, so Jesus is having a meaningful conversation with Moses and Elijah. We don't know what the content of that conversation is, but it'd be unusual. I would be like, huh? What are they saying? It's probably important. But instead, Peter says, Lord, it's good for us to be here with you. Like, he didn't know what else to say. And I think as he said that, and probably interrupted the conversation that Jesus was having with Moses and Elijah, there's this moment where he's like, oh, I shouldn't just say that. Maybe I should make it like I had a reason. If you'd like, I'll make three dwellings here. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Which is really kind of a weird thing for him to say all of a sudden. And just after he says that, bright cloud appears, and we hear the voice speaking. Suddenly, bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice says, this is my son, the beloved, with whom I'm well pleased. And here's the key words. Listen to him. Peter, instead of talking and trying to make some kind of a point, listen to Jesus. It's an interesting thing we do as human beings. This thing where something happens someplace, and then we want to commemorate it. We want to put a plaque. Sometimes somebody wants to name a place where something important happened. Have you ever noticed that about us? If you drive up and down the highway, you'll see these places where people have been in car accidents, and they've got the flowers there. Now, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just saying it's really interesting how some of our first inclination as human beings is to talk about a place where something happened. So when we drive by, we can go, oh yeah, that's where that happened. And it's this funny part of us that tries to distance ourselves sometimes from things that are really important in our lives. Sometimes we like to not know that God is everywhere we are. We'd like to think maybe that we could put God in a box and put Moses in a box and put Elijah in a box and put Jesus in a box, and now we know where they are. So when we need them, we'll go to them. instead of knowing that Jesus is with us everywhere we are. It makes it hard for us when we believe that Christ is with us all the time to do things that we're not supposed to do. It becomes really convenient to think of Christ in a dwelling place that we can go to and access when we want. And when we want to be bad, we'll go over here. Jonah had that problem, right? I'll escape from God. I'll run away from God. I'll keep God over there, and I'm going to be over here. That didn't work out. Remember what happened to Jonah? They tossed him over the boat because God kept following him. And God put him in a fish, and the fish ended up taking Jonah to where? To Nineveh, right where he didn't want to go. God has a way. But it's this funny thing that we do. And the other thing that we do is that sometimes we blurt out instead of listening to what it is that Christ is telling us. This is Peter in our story today. He's more interested in making his moment and trying to make sense of what's going on with his own words instead of just listening to Jesus. And that is what God eventually tells him. Hey, Peter, I know you're excited, but this is my son, my beloved. Listen to him. He has really important things to tell you. He's been telling you really important things. We get this vaguely strange discipleship, right? The disciples that follow Christ are usually not too bright. And most, until Christ is resurrected. And then they get this full picture like, oh, I get it now. But as we listen to Christ in the Bible, we usually get this picture of disciples that aren't too bright about what Jesus is saying. Does it sound like anybody you know? Sounds like me sometimes. And so the text asks us to listen. And immediately after this, Peter understands that he hasn't been listening. And he's afraid. And that's not the point. God doesn't tell us this in order for us to be afraid. God tells us this to inform us what the most important thing as followers of Christ is that we could do. And that's to listen to Jesus. And so we pray. Good and gracious God, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who comes into our lives. We see his divinity shine all around him. And sometimes that scares us. Sometimes that makes us nervous. Lord, help us to know that Christ is with us wherever we go. And that Christ can't be just contained in one place. As we meet others, as we are your hands and feet, help us to have Christ right at our fingertips, right in our feet and our heart, with us all the time. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. As we continue with our service, please rise as you are able.